Oh, he's recording. Yes, we got outtakes for the beginning of the episode. The
great thing is I don't have to pick that.
All right. Let's do this.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
Apprentice Dan.
And
Gina, the international intern.
Yeah, in the house.
Woo. Man, it's going to be an exciting week. So this travel back in time with us to when TantrumCon was about to happen, because we are on the cusp. Is that a thing? I think it is. Of planning for our big event for the year.
It's acceptable.
We are recording this a week in advance, and so we just finished doing all kinds of preparatory work this evening. Brought in all the help that we could get. Had our interns from all over the world coming in to help us out. Thanks so much, Tina, for joining us tonight. Glad to have you on the podcast. Why don't we start talking about some of the games that you've been playing recently? It's been very cool to see the postcards that you've been sending to us. Way to go on those. Those are fun. Looks like you've had some pretty great adventures. What's some of the recent stuff you've been doing?
Just 2 weeks ago, we were at a really big, convention in Germany.
Cool.
We call it Board Game Days, just like an hour or something from where we live. And lots of stuff going on. And I think my favorite part was that everything was like sponsored by people or by the church. Like,
oh, cool.
And then whatever proceeds would go to charity. And
oh, that's
stuff
great.
Stuff like that.
Very cool. Is that one you had heard of or been to before? How did you find out about it?
Actually being at another convention, or like the one I posted about in December, mm-hmm, at Pegasus.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about it. And they gave me the flyer, and then I'm like, yeah, I want to go to that one, too.
Nice. Cool. Is that the one you played a ton of games at? Because I saw pictures of a bunch of games.
Yeah. Yeah, we played a lot of stuff. But well, we had, like, our own personal game guru.
Nice.
So he stayed with us the whole time.
Yeah. That's cool.
Stefan did a really good job.
Was that just
everything?
Was that just a nice thing that he was doing, or were you like, "Yes, I'm from Tantrum House, and here's my T-shirt. Can you please show me around?" Like, how did that?
I mean, I told him, because I mean, he's wearing like the Pegasus shirt, and I'm like, I got one too.
Yeah.
So,
What did you play? What were some of your favorites?
We played quite some heavy stuff, because he was like trying to get us into maybe also the older Pegasus games, of course.
Oh, cool.
I mean, not that they only had Pegasus games, but of course, but he knew might, the Pegasus
right,
games,
he knew those
right?
Games.
So we played, for example, Crown of Amara. I don't know if
you're familiar with that. It's a pretty heavy game.
And that out of the box is already German and English.
That's nice. Cool.
So even if you would buy the German version, you still get the English in the box.
Cool.
And it's like two different boards, and one is like the countryside where you like collect your resources, and the other side is like the town where you sell your resources and you try to get points for like nobility. And you have like two tracks where you count those victory points, but the lower one will score.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to make sure both of them progress somewhat in the same same area.
We are so glad you're here, because you're going to stay all the way for a few more days until TantrumCon. And she brought goodies with her, too.
Let's get to the goodies, right?
German time. No, we have to stick around and wait till the end of the show, where we actually do a taste testing of some of these really cool German chocolate candies.
Things, yeah. Delicacies. We don't know what to call them.
It's just riveting podcast listening.
Right?
Listening
well,
to the people's
chew.
Yeah.
We have to
articulate.
Help the listeners experience what we're tasting.
Channel yeah, this is your inner like
yeah, that's right.
Food Network.
That's right.
Host abilities.
They gotta have Food Network podcasts, right? What do they do on those? Do they make like sizzle sounds and like it's so good?
So I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but one of my wife's it's not a phobia, but it's just like this thing that where she hears people chewing, and it's like amplified, and it drives her nuts.
Well, I have no idea what that could be like.
Me standing okay, so it's up not your just shoulder, her. No, watching you do graphic Woo. Design.
So if those people are listening at the end of the podcast, this could be a lot of fun. Turn it off.
This is your trigger warning, right? Is that... Melissa, Kevin, I know you guys played a bunch of games
speaking
this week.
Speaking of TantraCon, one of our sponsors is Skybound Games and Druid City Games, and they have a couple new games out in the market, and one of them is Sorcerer City, and we were able to play that last week, and it is a game from Scott Caputo and a tile laying game. Melissa's going to tell us a little bit about it.
So it is a tile laying game, like Kevin was saying, but it's also real time.
What? Now I'm
and,
in.
And at first, I was like, oh, I don't know, because I get like really uptight when there's a time limit. But we played where each round we had 2 minutes to lay our tiles. And basically you start...
Is that longer than normal, or is that...
I don't know. It was the first time we played, and I was skimming. It has a sand timer, but we used a phone, so we would have a...
But we timed the sand timer.
We did time the sand timer.
And the sand timer was 2 minutes, so...
So
legit. All right.
That probably is the normal like mode. It's kind of like a deck builder with tiles. So you start out round one, and everyone has their starter tiles, and it's the same for each person. And you draw the top tile off your stack and place it into your city, your domain. And then you draw the next one, and you have to place it. Once you place a tile, you can't move it. So as you're drawing them, you're trying to decide, where do I want to put this? And certain tiles will score based on where they are in your city, same colors, things like that. So the first round's not too bad because you don't have a lot of tiles.
And you're matching different colors, like purples to purples, reds to reds, greens to greens, yellows to yellows, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the round, you're going to collect certain resources based on where your tiles were. And then you get to buy things from the market, which is going to be more tiles, which maybe score different ways or give you special powers. You're going to get points and maybe special abilities based on where you are.
Influence.
On the influence track, which is one of the resources that you're collecting. But at the end of each round, you destroy your city. You take up all your tiles, you shuffle in the new ones, create a new stack. You get monster tiles, which do bad things when you draw them. And then you do it again, making your new city. So,
yep, 5 rounds. And the funny thing is your tile, your stack of your deck of tiles is getting bigger and bigger. So, you know, that first round, you're like, okay, I can do this. And then you're adding more and more tiles. You're like, oh, frantically putting tiles on the place because I only have 2 minutes to get them all on the place. So I don't think there was a couple of rounds, Melissa, you didn't place all your tiles, which is okay.
Right. I know the last round I had about 5 tiles still on my stack. And if I had gotten to them, probably would have been about 30 more points.
Oh, wow.
But time.
Mm-hmm. But Kevin beat her.
Was this a two-player match?
There was a point in the game where I had the choice of taking either points or an ability, and Kevin got whatever I didn't choose. And I was like, oh, Kevin's so far behind.
Oh, no.
I'll give him the points, and I'll take the ability. And that was probably the wrong choice.
No, that was really, really funny was another player, Alan. He, I guess one of the abilities was he could give a tile to any one player. And he's like, oh, Kevin, here you go. You can have it, right? And it was at the end of the game, that one tile gave me 1 point, which doesn't sound like a lot. But I told him when he gave me that, if I win by 1 point, that's going to be super funny. And so at the end of the game, that one tile gave me 1 point. I beat him by 1 point.
No.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I love when that happens. That's so good.
So I really, really enjoyed the game. I look forward to playing it some more times. There are some other tiles that you can put into the mix that we didn't do for our first game.
A couple other things. You can make it a little easier for the players and make it 3 minutes. So like if you're like all set, if you all agree, we're going to make the time a little bit longer, then I think that will help people be like, oh, I can't do it on 2 minutes. Well, like if everyone agrees 3 minutes, then that's fine. If you're like, I want to just do a crazy round, you can do it on 1 minute. You know, it's really up to the group to decide
the experience of the players so that it's not Russian new people.
We have the deluxe version.
Ooh.
And the coins, if you've seen some people posting about them online, they fit
on top of
on top
other.
Each other, yeah, like
interlocked.
Thank you, Melissa. Interlocked.
They're
to
pretty
each other.
Cool.
They are pretty cool looking.
So you don't knock them all over the table, or just makes it more fun to stack
they
them.
Stack. Well. Yes, very nice stacking. So that is Sorcerer City, and there's more to the game than what we mentioned. Those were the basics, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Very puzzly.
I got more games to talk about. We can put them off till next week, unless someone else has.
Yeah, well, I also know that finally, I've been holding out for like 3 weeks, we can finally talk about some of the secret stuff.
Stay tuned for secret stuff.
Coming later. We've also got an interview in this episode and the candy tasting. So why don't we go from here and just jump into our Kickstarter conniption. Yep. Just kidding.
Shout out to our sponsor.
Okay, we can do that instead.
This episode is sponsored by Mythic Games. They are bringing Enchanters East Quest to Kickstarter on February 4th. This is an expansion to Enchanters, and we'll talk about it a little bit more during our Kickstarter conniption.
Now, can we jump into our Kickstarter
now
conniption?
We can jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 9 games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 3rd, 2020. Kevin, start us off.
We're going to start off with our sponsor, Mythic Games.
Hey, awesome. Makes sense.
Yes, Enchanters Eastward. If you're not familiar with Enchanters, it is a very simple, almost a deck-building type game where you start with 2 cards in front of you. One says Fist. So you have a fist, a card that says fist, and it's got this picture of a fist on it. And the other card says of enchanting.
What does it have a picture of it on?
Enchanting things. Probably like sparkles. And what you're doing is you're upgrading those 2 things throughout the game. So you could have a fist of enchanting, and then you cover up enchanting with of poison. So you could have a fist of poison. But you can also upgrade your fist so that you cover up fist, and you could have a helmet of poison. A helmet of poison? Someone's talking to me.
What? That's weird. No,
that's fine. Anyway, so you're upgrading those kinds of things, so you can randomly give me a thing. And you're, anyway, so continue on. This expansion brings new things, and you can tell this is a little bit more Eastern, because it's the East Quest, so this is bringing into the Eastern realms. And you are going to be having new fighting techniques and magic that you'll be able to add. The Enchanters Guild expands, offering quests to their members, slaying dragons, reinforcing the ancient sword, and just working some crystals and glory into it as well. The module gives you new avenues to pursue and new areas to compete in each game. So check out Enchanters East Quest. This is a game for 1 to 4 players. Takes about 30 to 60 minutes to play from Mythic Games. Melissa.
Alley Cat Games is bringing 2 mint tin size dexterity games to Kickstarter on February 4th. The first one is Tinder Blocks, BLOX, and it's for 2 to 5 players, plays in about 3 to 15 minutes. And you're basically making a campfire with wooden components. There's little logs and cubes and tweezers. And you're going to pull a card, and it's going to show you what type of component that you need to put onto the campfire. So you're using your tweezers to build the campfire. So that is Tinder Blocks. You have to be very careful. The player who is the most careful wins. The other game that's also going to be offered in this Kickstarter is called Kitten, K-I-T-T-I-N. So they're going for creative spelling in this campaign. And it's for 2 to 6 players and plays in about 3 to 15 minutes. And you are stacking little wooden kitten meeples, and they have different shapes, like they're arching their back and lying down and things like that. And again, you're going to have cards that you're in this one, you're trying to match the pattern that is on it by stacking the kittens. Both of these fit in the mint tin sized boxes, so they're very small, portable, and both dexterity-based and play in just a few minutes. And that is Tinder Blocks and Kitten from Alley Cat Games, coming February 4th. Ryan.
Also coming February 4th is Teneri's Adventures from... It's a expansion for Arena the Contest. This expansion adds a bunch of things to the game. In the base game, you are kind of working together to defeat monsters in a labyrinth of stone walls and fire pits, it looks like. In this one, they add a new epic campaign. There's new gameplay and additional rules and features to that. There's a new combat role. I believe it's called the Commander, where you actually control two people and how that interplays. And there's a new AI system for heroes, so you can actually do a player versus player, single player, where you play against the game itself. So it looks like they've really improved some of the gameplay. They've added, I believe, like 40 new miniatures. So if you enjoyed Arena the Contest, check it out February 4th. Teneri's, I might be slaughtering that pronunciation, Adventures. Dan, do you got something?
Yes, I do. February 4th is Storm Dragons from Dragon Phoenix Games. It is a 2-6 player trick-taking card game. It takes about 30 minutes to play, roughly. But you are... You can draft or deal out dragons and storms at the beginning of the game, and then each player takes turns playing their dragons and storms into their flight, and you battle each other by comparing your strengths. Some dragons have they're better when you play them as the tail. Some are better at the head. Some have instant abilities that trigger as soon as you play them. Some have ongoing effects as long as they're the head. So you're playing these cards, you're playing storms to try and supplement those and get the most powerful dragon that you can. And when you feel you've done that, you can challenge your opponents. And the person who wins that challenge round gets all the cards, and you get a point for every dragon at the end of the game. We got a chance to play this, Ryan, Katie, and I. And Ryan, what did you think?
I thought it was a lot of fun winning. Yeah,
that's true. You did win, yes. But again, that's Dragon Phoenix Games. It's Storm Dragons, coming on February 4th. Tina.
Okay. Kanban EV is also coming the same week to Kickstarter.
Cool.
It plays 1-4 people, 60 to 180 minutes. And EVs are the electric vehicles that we see more and more now on the streets. And you're basically overseeing the production of said vehicles with a Kanban system. Kanban is a Toyota scheduling system that supports an efficient just-in-time production.
Cool.
Right?
This is right up your alley.
This is like a perfect game for Tina.
So players take on the role of rookie employees who are trying to secure their career, and they need to manage the supplies and the suppliers and improve and innovate the automotive parts they're responsible for. And yeah, they need to focus on the resource and time management that puts the driver's seat of an entire production facility, puts them in the driver's seat of the production facility, racing for factory goals and the highest level of promotion. So,
cool.
So, can you use Trello to play this game?
No,
because we use Trello with Tantrum House.
Project management. And
that's a Kanban board.
Is it really?
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
Okay.
Fun stuff. All right. I'm looking at the game Vampire: The Masquerade Chapters. It's from Flyos Games and from designer Thomas Felipe and Gary Petrie. There have been several games in this Vampire: The Masquerade. Some of them have been like Bloodlust or some of the ones. I can't remember the names, but this is a new addition to the story, and it is a strategy role play storytelling game. In the game, players are there. It's a 1-4 player game, dice rolling, space management minis, some pretty creepy looking crazy minis. The story sells itself as being a scary horror adult story, so you know, be warned if you're into that, but check it out.
the game, the thing that sounds most interesting to me is that you are playing different scenarios. It comes in a, you know, cool sealed box with all kinds of stuff, and you reveal new things as you go throughout the game. So it's a campaign story for sure. But you are trying to, it sounds like, achieve it, unwrap as many of the expansion packs that are in the game, but depending on the decisions that you make in the game, you may not ever even see some of the sealed packs. So making good decisions, trying to, you know, explore in as many ways as you can will give you the full experience. Sounds like you might be able to kind of buzz through it and skip parts. You probably don't want to, because there's going to be a bunch of minis and different pieces that you unlock, and it says that there are secrets and surprises. I don't know what that means, but ooh, sounds scary. So that is Vampire the Masquerade Chapters. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming February 4th, as well as most of the other games we've talked about on this episode, is Wishland. This is from publisher Lost Games Entertainment and from designer Carlos Amato. In the game, it is a worker placement game, and you are managing a theme park. So there are different ways where you can add workers. Some of them are actors, or you can add mascots. There are rides that you can build in the game to give you victory points. And then there are also hotels that can give you some end-game objectives. So it's got a... the artwork fits very well with the theme of a theme park, and it has like little tickets and things on the board, and then you have workers that will go out and do gaining the items that you need to make your theme park the best. So that is Wishland, coming February 4th.
That's cool.
Kevin.
Well, a few weeks ago, we had Kyle Key from Keymaster Games here in the house.
In the house.
And he was able to show us a little secret that we can now talk about.
Finally!
So, as you know, from when he was here, he announced that Parks is getting an expansion that will be launching February 4th. Well, little did you know, there's another game that's going to be launching with Parks expansion.
Dun, dun, dun.
Called Parks Memories.
Yeah.
It's its own game. It's in the same world as Parks with the 59 Parks series.
Is that our world? Or how does that, what does that
That's
count
our,
as?
Our world,
okay,
yes.
It's then our world.
Anyway, and Parks Memories is a strategic... Oh, I forget how...
Yeah, it is a strategic memory game.
Strategic memory game, thank you. And we were able to play a few times. We actually did a playthrough video that will be going on our channel this week for you, so you can watch it's played. And they are actually revealing that during TantrumCon, so TantrumCon attendees can actually play...
First peoples.
...the game, and they'll be launching Parks Memories. But... we don't need to talk that much about it, because Kyle Key came back, and he's in the house. As another house guest, we have an interview with Kyle, and he's going to talk about Parks Memories. So let's welcome him to the house.
Hey!
Hey, guys. Thanks for unlocking the fun for me.
Oh, key jokes. I love it.
Is this going to be all night? This is great.
It's going to be perfect.
So we had Kyle on our previous episode, and we're glad that he is going to do an interview about the
secret parts.
The secret Kickstarter campaign, Parks. Tell us a little bit about this Parks Memories that I see before me.
That is the new standalone strategic matching game.
What?
That is
in the Parks universe.
That is it. Yes, it's a expansion, a more of the 59 Parks partnership that includes all of the artwork for all of the parks, more than 59 parks, all the ones that everyone wants to visit, everyone wants to see. We know we've just gotten amazing response from people about the artwork, and we want to put more of that artwork in front of people.
So if we understand correctly, the original game did not include, it maybe included 59, but there are more than 59 parks, and it did not include them all.
That's right.
Oh.
But gosh. Now
you can get them all.
That's right.
Got to catch them all.
Yeah, and there are new parks that have been created in the United States, and that is in there.
Constantly adding parks is the good thing. That's, yes. But that means there's just more parks to include.
So tell us a little bit about the story. Our listeners like to hear like the history, the behind the scenes. So last year you guys kickstarted Parks, the 59 Park series. That is the what kind of game is a set collection?
It's a celebration of the national parks.
Right.
You are hiking.
Yeah, with the mechanics.
Collecting resources, if you want to use resources. Right. Yes, you're collecting those memories to visit the national parks along the way.
And then they came back to you and said, we'd like you guys to do another game. Or did you, how did that all, how did the process work to get this another game, Parks Memories, coming down the pike?
Parks Memories, sort of backstory there. You asked that they want more games. We also want, we've had such a great response to the artwork and 59 Parks, this partnership with the original game of Parks has brought a lot of people into gaming, and the Kickstarter last year, we just saw lots of people who never played games. They were picking up Parks. Still to this day, people are buying it because their love of the national parks. That is something that is very strong, and we see that. And we want to get more games into people's hands, as well as teach people more about games. So we've seen people pick up Parks. They've played it. They've learned it. Some people, this is their first board game they've ever played, Parks, and they're playing, and it's a bit heavy. So for a newcomer,
sure, for
to
a
games,
new gamer,
not
new
a gamer. I think it's
although technically it is a gateway.
It's a gateway game, but maybe a little heavier of a gateway.
Yeah. A little bit heavier of a gateway game. So we're seeing this large crowd of people who want to play games, and 59 Parks also came to us and said, do you think you could approach games a little bit simpler and maybe make a matching game, which is maybe one of the most simplest games we could think of, is just matching the park art. And we thought about it as a team, and we were like, yeah, you know what? I think we can make a matching game.
You didn't just make any matching game. You made a strategic magic game.
Well, we didn't want to make just, you know, set tiles down and flip them over and match. However, you can play Parks Memories as a matching game. I play it with my 4-year-old daughter.
And she loves it?
She loves it. The artwork is beautiful.
And the question is, does she beat you all the time?
She has beat me once.
Legit.
I do not have the best memory. So the best part about this game, yes, is it straddles the line between... There are matching park art in there, and so you can take 10 matching tiles, 20 matching tiles, sit down with a young child and lay those out and teach them about the parks. You can show them about that. It should inspire people to go to those places. There's facts on them, so they should a little bit of education there. But, yes, then we wanted to take it one more step further and provide a game that was strategic for people who really wanted to sit down and strategically match.
So let's talk a little bit more in depth about Parks Memories game itself, and then we'll talk a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign. So the Parks Memories game, you are creating matching sets throughout the game, but there's also token or icons that you're trying to match as well. So there's this like double matching going on,
right?
Or
it's,
like
that's where the memory
meta,
gets
meta matching.
It's like double memory. Okay. It's kind of what we've thought about. So there's only 9 cards you need to remember on the grid in the center.
Only nine.
And you are trying to match the images by getting 2 matching images. However, every card also has a park type. So that might be a mountain, a forest, a water, or sunshine. And you're also trying to get the abilities to help you do more than a basic turn. So your basic turn is just flip 2 cards. You're going to take one of those cards. You're going to reveal a new card. And then you're going to lock 1 card. That's a simple turn. But when you add abilities into it, you can do so much more on your turn.
Like turning over more cards.
Mm-hmm. Turning over more cards, yes, which gives you more abilities and keeping the hiker in the place. And you're playing back and forth on who gets what. And you can think a couple turns ahead. But the nice part is that the abilities add that strategic value to it. So now I'm not only trying to remember the 9 cards where the images are, I'm also trying to remember the 9 park types that are in the same grid, and they're, one of them is getting switched out every turn because someone's taking a card every turn, and sometimes people are swapping where the cards are.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't change that much. And then those abilities change when we're talking about box sets too.
What?
Yeah, so let's move in to the Kickstarter campaign. So this we were able to play one of the box sets tonight, the Planeswalker box set, which has four ability that matches each of those icons: sun, water, mountain, and forest.
Right.
But each of the box sets has different abilities in them.
Right.
So what are the other box sets?
So there's three box sets.
Okay.
The reason there's three box sets is because there are so many parks. So we wanted to one thing we've seen with the love of the parks artwork is people want to collect all of the artwork. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure everyone had that possibility. So the game Parks Memories, each box contains 22 parks. So there's two tiles for each park. And in order to include all the artwork for all of the national parks, we needed to have three games. So each game contains 22 parks, 66 parks total. Ooh. There's some duplicate art in there, sure, of different parks. And we created three unique sets. Planeswalker, you talked about. Planeswalker is more focused on the high plains, the desert parks. So if that is your art style, you love those kind of plains, deserty parks, those, mm-hmm, are your jam. A lot more of the artwork of those type of parks is going to be in that box set. Mm-hmm. And then the abilities in that box set have to do with keeping the nine grid kind of moving. Everything's within there. The hiker stays in place.
Yeah.
You swap them around. And all the abilities kind of happen on that nine grid. If mountains are more your thing, like I personally like Smoky Mountain National Park. So, mm-hmm, if mountains are more your thing, then Mountaineer set is going to have more mountain artwork in it. And then the abilities that are within that box set are going to deal with the stacks. So the three stacks of 13 tiles at the beginning,
oh,
I like to think that those are like mountains. So you're going to be looking into the stacks.
Very thematic.
You're going to be able to move the hiker on top of the stack.
Okay.
And you're going to be able to do some abilities there. And then for the third one, Coastal Cruise, a lot of the Virgin Islands, Samoa, mm-hmm, all the coastal ones, Acadia, mm-hmm, some of those artworks, probably they're going to be in those sets. And those abilities, the water's maybe the strongest ability,
yeah,
in that set.
Guess that.
So in that one, you can actually swap out a tile that you've previously visited with one of the centers.
What? Sign me up.
So the abilities change within the box sets, and that allows us to offer three unique artwork possibilities, mm-hmm, but also three unique games.
Cool. So not only are you offering these three box sets, but you're also on the same Kickstarter campaign, also revealing the expansion to the base game of Parks.
That's right.
Can you give us the flyover view, yes, of the parks, flying over the parks expansion?
Yes. So expansion to Parks, and the big item there as an overview flyover is, yes, it's going to include all the artwork that, woo, was missing.
Awesome.
That has been the number one request that, okay, we hear from people. When we originally made Parks a year ago, some of the artwork for the parks that just got added or that existed didn't have artwork, or 59 Parks was working with artists on the artwork, so, okay, it wasn't ready to go into the game, so we couldn't put it into the game. But now we have all those missing parks.
All right.
Can't wait to see them all. It's going to be amazing.
They are going to be included,
mm-hmm,
and I can say that the cost of those parks in the game is going to add some extra stuff,
mm-hmm,
and things into the game.
Okay.
So maybe not just your typical cost to go there. And then another added thing in that is that there's going to be an all-new year deck.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Currently, we have a year deck. Everyone gets one year bonus,
mm-hmm,
at the start of the game. And so we're going to add more into that year deck.
Cool.
Random trivia that I don't know the answer to. How many new state parks, national parks are opened every year?
I can't answer that, actually. I know that there's been two, I think, added.
More than zero.
So, yeah, more than
so
zero.
So every year we should expect an expansion of like two additional cards? Is that where we're...
I should be like straight on the facts, but it is a presidential call. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So no way to know. Vote for more parks so you can get more cards.
Anything else about the Kickstarter campaign that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just that we are so appreciative that people come, and, yeah, we're super happy that it is drawing more people who mainly have a love for the national parks, and I was bringing them to board gaming, as well as we've seen a lot of board gamers. This is an opportunity for people to really get out and enjoy these great national treasures that are out there.
So you can, so as a backer, you can back just one of the box sets, all three. You can, is there going to be like a bundle for everything, the expansion and the box set?
Yes. So you can, there's going to be a couple levels on there. You're going to be able to get just the expansion if you want. You can get just one box set. If you just want to get one box set of Parks Memories, you'll be able to choose which box set you want. And we'll have all the artwork listed out there if the artwork is the drawing factor for you. Okay. And then you'll be able to get the combo set of the three, as well as throwing in the expansion in there as well.
Cool. Well, it was great having you on the show again, Kyle. Yeah. And if you want to learn more about Keymaster Games, check out our previous episode where we had him on. And I hope you all success to your Kickstarter campaign. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Bye.
Very cool getting to talk to Kyle. It was neat being able to hang out with him last week and actually get to try out the game. I love the fact, I don't know if we said this in the interview, but we were talking with him about like where did the idea for this come from. And it's really interesting that the 59 Parks Project kind of pushed them towards this, which I think is clever. And then their solution for creating a memory match game that gamers can play, that's still approachable for everybody, that makes really great use of the cards, just really, really great game design. Very much enjoyed playing the game. Looking forward to, or historically, having played it at TangerCon with people.
I love it that it can be super simple, so you can just play it as a memory, straight memory game. So you can play it with young kids, or you can make it more gamerly with all the other action tiles that are in it that you can do.
And I think you could even house rule this one and add in some of it and maybe not all of it to make it more difficult.
Dan's really in.
I just want to point out that Will has known about this how long?
Thank you very much, Dan.
He took pictures. I mean, nothing came
burning out. Burning holes in my pocket. It was crazy. Thank you. Appreciate that.
This
it was hard. It was a hard
time
secret
Will
to keep.
Will has kept a secret this long.
Unless I told some people. Is that my punishment for telling people?
What is that?
No, that
usually
is
that's my cue. What's
the
going
intern's
on?
Taking over.
What?
So you guys always, at least since I've been on here, you push the button or you do whatever, and you're like, hey Dan, answer these questions.
You like how that rolls?
Yeah. So I got the idea, and then when Tina was here, I was like, hey, let's do this tonight. So we're gonna do
the intern reverse, takeover. I like it.
Reverse the roles a little bit. Last time you guys asked us questions about yourselves.
I'm scared.
This time we're going to ask you questions about us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yay, I'm so confident.
And let's see how well you know the interns.
Sweet. Okay. Love it.
So Tina's going to help me out with this.
Are the teams like me and Sarah or every man for himself or what's our...
Let's go couples plus Ryan.
Right. Good job, Ryan. We miss you, Katie.
Ryan, you can join the team that's winning at the end. How's that sound?
Maybe he's winning.
How well do we know Katie?
I'll just edit it so that I have all the right
answers. That would be amazing.
Yes. All right. So we're going to start out with some softballs here just so that, you know, we can get you rolling, get you some easy points.
Ready.
Point per question. This intern grew up skiing the slopes of Mount Bachelor in Oregon.
Well, since Dan grew up in Oregon.
Oh, wait. I'm not. Yeah. Give us a ding.
Do we have to buzz
something?
In?
Sorry.
Oh, I already ruined it.
Dan.
Yes, I'll go ahead and give that one to Sarah. The Meadows.
All right, good.
The Meadows.
Wait, you guys are together. I guess you could be on my team.
That's right. All right. Let's see. Number two, this intern is a Georgia native and avid fan of the Bulldogs.
Bah. That was the Meadows buzz in.
Yes. go for it.
It doesn't help you to see it. Georgia, Germany?
No, it's Andrew.
It's Andrew.
Oh,
yeah, you're thinking way too hard on that one.
We stole that answer.
You got that one. Is it Andrew?
Wait, what happens if Will answers incorrectly for me?
We had to consult. That wasn't our final answer.
I don't know.
I snuck in there.
I think the Delps have a point there.
All right.
So we'll get that.
1-1.
Yes. Tina, would you like to read this next one?
This intern got to scale the heights of the Schilthorn Mountain, Switzerland.
The Delps.
That was the Delp buzz.
Tina.
That is incorrect. Incorrect.
Ryan
actually.
For the steal.
I guess Dan.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm kind of surprised. I've been somewhere in the general region of Tina, and she hasn't been there. But
she
that
hasn't
worked out.
Been in the general.
That was a good trick question.
I was pretty happy with that. Follow up to that one: which famous James Bond movie was shot at the Chiltorn Mountain?
Ooh. Is it the one where he's
1969?
Oh no,
this is an old one.
I'll just give it to you. On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh, I think that game's sitting right behind me.
Yes. I think that was Sean Connery, maybe?
I haven't seen that one.
All right. Tina, we'll let you take this next one.
Which intern has lived in more than 4 states or countries?
Tina.
Yes, we'll give that one to the Delps.
You didn't even buzz in, Kevin.
You've only lived in 2, Dan?
I've lived in 4.
Hence more than.
Oh,
states.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Close.
Yeah, it was a close one, but it's another trick question.
Okay, so we're going to get into some
Andrew,
more.
How many states have you lived in? Did you guys consult on this?
Oh, no, I didn't get that one, no.
Maybe Andrew's been in more.
All right, so here's some board gaming stuff for you. Intern Dan absolutely loves this game. I have said this multiple times.
Oh, Ding Ding Meadows.
Yes.
Keyforge. Come on, you said you love it.
That is correct. No, but there's one where there's I've said one. I will play this over and over anytime someone wants to play it. I enjoy teaching it.
Monopoly.
Marvel Legendary.
Marvel Legendary.
Oh, I knew that.
I didn't know
so
that.
So have you been keeping track of points? What is it like?
2-1-1.
All right. You only have one?
Yes. 2 for the Delphs, 1 for the Meadows.
Answered Andrew incorrectly.
Will. All right.
All right, Tina, can you answer or ask this one?
And answer it.
Tina's first experience with modern gaming was with which game?
Oh, I feel like she actually told us.
Oh, I remember this.
Oh, boy.
I was trying to whisper in Sarah's ear, but she has headphones on.
Just whisper into the mic.
And then we can all hear.
I feel like it was Ticket to Ride, but I don't know.
No.
That is incorrect.
Let me guess.
Think about a very German game.
Yeah.
Okay, then I think it was Settlers of Catan.
It was Catan.
I knew
it was one of those two.
We get a half point.
Do we do half point
half
there?
Half point.
We'll give half,
half
point.
Points.
You lose a point, then you gain a point.
Oh. Zero.
Zero right. Sum score.
Like, Catan came to my mind, and I was thinking, but was it not Catan? Was that like throwing me? It was really throwing me off.
Intern Andrew's go-to gaming snack is...
I've seen pictures of this.
You can't eat You can't eat snacks while you're gaming. Are you guys kidding me? Like these are $60 to $80 games, and you're gonna get your grubby fingers on them.
You don't sleeve, do you, Dan?
Are you a sleever,
Andrew? Andrew's a sleever. You do not. You do not.
That was a trick question.
Yes, I may have paraphrased his answer a little bit, but
interesting. Because he plays games with him at his house, and he eats stuff.
He's just been told on.
So the answer is
it was probably
no
your
snacks.
Game. He
no
was like, eh, that's right.
Andrew does not eat snacks. So he claims.
There were probably specific snacks like pretzels or other dry.
I think Diana made a cake or something.
So. Oh, that's not good.
It was separate.
But
of
you
the
probably ate
time.
It with a fork so that your hands weren't touching the cake.
That's true.
Continuing on.
A few more here.
Conceded.
If you pull out an abstract strategy game, which intern will race to the table?
Andrew.
That is incorrect. Anybody with a follow-up?
Go for it, Ryan.
Well, we only have one other intern.
There's two.
So, no, he's an apprentice.
Oh!
For the purpose of this, I'm an intern.
You just degraded yourself.
I'm going to say Tina.
That is correct. Half point for Ryan here. All right. Tina, can you ask this one?
War of the Ring is the favorite game of this intern.
Andrew.
Yes, the Delps for a point. Andrew. War of the Ring is Andrew's favorite game.
That's a big game.
That is. Tina's favorite game is based around pandas and bamboo. What is she playing?
I can't think what it's called.
Takenoko.
Yeah. Yes.
Job.
All right, and this is for 50 points.
What? For the win. Get ready, hands
for
up.
For the win.
Gotta be the buzz.
All right.
Who had the most recent birthday? Sarah.
Larry.
What?
No.
It was
the Let me rephrase the question. Who had which intern had the most recent birthday?
That's in this room right now?
Current intern.
Including Andrew. The three.
I'm going to say... Oh, that threw me off.
Dan.
That is incorrect.
Tina,
January 8th.
Yes! January 8th. That was only...
Happy birthday, Larry.
She's also the youngest of the interns.
Oh, all these things we're learning today. Very nice.
21. Very
all right,
nice.
So what was our final score?
I don't remember.
We don't know.
The Delps. I think
the Delps won.
So yes, probably the Delps.
Yeah, and 1.5 over here.
So the Delps know the interns the best.
Way to
that's
go.
Not that Yay. Good, but a little bit better. You need to work on the birthdays. You need to work on the birthdays. Very good. Well, why don't we take a break here and...
celebrate your win with some chocolate candies.
So I'm really interested in this eggnog chocolate.
Eggnog chocolate sounds fantastic.
Oh, this... First you have to say what it says
read it
on
for
the
us,
box.
Kevin. All right.
Say it.
Well, let's let Kevin try first.
I'm going to try first. All right, here we go. I'm gonna slaughter it, and then Tina can help me. Halloran Kugeln. Kugeln.
Not too bad, yeah. Okay. Halloran Kugeln.
Kugeln. And Schoko. Oh, wow. There's too many vowels there.
You mean caramel?
So the flavor is chocolate eggnog, right?
Yeah.
Schoko Eierlikör.
Eierlikör? Oh.
Eierlikör.
Because it's, because it's egg liquor.
Yeah. Sorta, <Sorta, yeah. laughs> I guess.
Tina brought a bunch of... She is a trademark, the snack tasty provider. She always brings some great stuff to TantrumCon. To describe what I'm looking at, we've got several boxes, several bags. One of these looks super classy. That's the one I'm digging into. Mm-hmm. It says on the front, classic nougat. I can read that. Good on that part. But it is, Fine Stücken aus Haffelnutten Nougat. I think I nailed it, judging by her reaction.
I have a little
you
more.
You probably said other words. In
so,
that,
so
it was not too bad.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of German in my blood, being Pennsylvania Dutch. Mm. So
now that you've got chocolate in you, too. This is not what I anticipated. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a.
It almost looks like
it looks
a
like an interesting Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Roll.
I'll have to be biting in right now.
Anyway, let me give you a little bit of a. Mm.
That's just straight up hazelnut. That's nice.
Mine, think about at Christmas time when you are. Think about Christmas time when you open the fridge and you see a quart of eggnog.
Yeah.
And you pour yourself a glass.
Uh huh.
And then you take a sip of eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that in a little like mouth, like just a little bit with a little bit of chocolate in there. Mm. Mm. It's good. I like it. Melissa?
Yeah, I would say almost like eggnog creamer and coffee because you have like the chocolate flavor. It's a little bitter and the eggnog. Very nice.
The hazelnut is, as you would anticipate, it's a little bit, what's the spread called?
Nutella?
Nutella.
It's a little Nutella in its flavoring, which makes sense, hazelnut. Buttery soft, though. It's melting in my hand and making a mess. I'm going to put the rest of my mouth. Very good.
Is Dan allowed to try one, or are they all milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate.
Unfortunately, they're milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Ryan's going to... So Dan and Tina are not allowed to eat them, or they'll break out in hives. Mm. But Ryan is doing a hungry, hungry hippo. Oh, does it have a hippo
it
face?
It looks like a little hippo.
Let me look at...
It even has a
face. Oh, it does look like a hippo.
It's like a submerged hippo wafer.
In chocolate.
In some sort of chocolate
Oh,
crust.
It has little eyes drawn on it and the little nostrils.
Just eat it, Ryan.
Oh,
just eat it.
It's so cute.
Oh, a little wafer? I heard
Crunch.
That.
Mm.
Does it take like a Kit Kat? Because it looks like a Kit Kat.
A little bit.
Okay.
Okay, next I'm digging into the Milka.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this brand before.
Yep.
It's got Oreos on the front, so it looks like... Oh, I just realized. Okay, so the picture on the back shows... It looks kind of like a... What's those eggs called?
A Cadbury egg, but the filling is Oreos. So it's got like a creamy...
And it's
with,
mouth size, so it's not like Cadbury, which is like...
It's the smaller eggs, that chocolate eggs that you might see at Easter time.
Mm-hmm. It's just a Christmas version.
The Christmas version. Christmas eggs, yeah.
Yeah.
This one's called Kinder Bueno, which means good.
Mm-hmm. In Spanish.
Yeah, multicultural. You know.
Multicultural German candy here.
Yeah.
It is...
What is grates?
Gratis
two more.
Two extra.
Two extra.
Two free in the box.
So I'm looking at this. It's about the size of a finger.
Mm-hmm.
And it is covered in...
It looks like a human finger covered in chocolate.
It literally looks like a human finger.
It actually almost looks like the Toblerone.
Oh, you are right. With like
that's how it's shaped. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the triangles, but it's sections like that.
Really creamy inside.
Mm. Like, just so you know, Dan, none of these are any good. This is all terrible.
Yeah, it all looks terrible.
The chocolatey smoothness and the mouthfeel. Yeah, gross.
This one has like next time a peanut butter class too, right?
It has a little bit saving the good candy for Tantrum Con.
Right. I have a question. This has a little peanut buttery, creamy taste to it. Mm-hmm. Do you know if there is peanut butter in there?
It looks like, let me see, hazelnut.
More
maybe
hazelnut,
it might
maybe
be more hazelnut.
What it says?
Maybe
chocolate, lots of milk chocolate and milk powder and butter.
That's what I taste.
And
it's
flour,
butter,
hazelnuts.
Maybe it's hazelnuts.
More milk powder. Yeah, lots of milk powder and chocolate and all the good stuff, right?
Which one of these is the eggnog?
This
is
one
caramel.
Eggnog's the yellowish one.
I think
I am an eggnog fan.
Should probably wrap it up. People are going to get bored with
yes.
Yes.
But if you all snacking.
Thank you. Thank you, Tina, for bringing some treats from Germany.
Dan, make sure Amy listens to the end of this episode and let us know, like, was the chewing enough to grate on her or...
Yes, I'll check with her.
She'll appreciate that, I'm sure. We have got a bunch more work to do for Tantrum Con, so we probably do need to wrap it up. We've got badges loaded and truck full, and we are headed to the show. So we'll hopefully have seen you there. We'll be talking a bunch next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode. Bye!
Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.